Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. The November 18th regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. We will pause for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. For staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation, and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will then be followed by a presentation from the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at that time, members of the public that are in person must fill out a blue speaker card and give it to staff. If you're participating virtually, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you'll be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be less than or equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, for those participating online, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item if you wish to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature, or if in person, fill out the speaker card. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and to then address any additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. First order of business is the approval of the agenda.
Move to approve.
Bowles, second.
It's been properly moved and seconded. We will do a voice vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Next,
we have notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments, which we have none of. Next, after that, is items requested be removed from the final agenda. We have map amendment rezone from PD to PD for uses allowable in OI and OIE zoning districts. And then we have special use permit establish a hotel in the TC1 zoning district. Is there anyone here to speak on those items? All right, I need a motion.
Move to approve.
Bowles, second.
To remove?
Yes.
It's been properly moved and seconded. We'll do another voice vote for that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, then we have items requested to be withdrawn. That's item number 3, map amendment, rezone from RA to R316 for multifamily use.
Move
and
to,
it's it for items requested to be withdrawn.
Move to withdraw.
Bowles, second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. And next, we have the consent agenda. Item number 4, major subdivision, River Marsh, lot 670 through 678 at 7672 Johnny Mercer Boulevard. Number 5, major subdivision, the Bluff at Moon River at 9778 Lehigh Avenue. Number 6, major subdivision, Edgewater at New Hampstead, Phase 2 at 2300 Little Neck Road.
Move to accept the consent agenda.
Blank second.
It's been properly moved and seconded. We'll do another voice vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, there is no old business, so we will move into regular business. Number 7, map amendment rezone from PR3-425 EO to PUD/EO at 604 Wilmington Island Road. Mr. Barrow.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the Planning Commission. Our first petition today is a county item out at 604 Wilmington Island Road. This is a map amendment request to rezone the subject property from PR3, P-R-3.4 3 to 4.25. We no longer structure our density that way. It's a little awkward to say. In the environmental overlay to planned unit development also within the environmental overlay. That P is a planned district designation for multifamily residential uses ranging in density from 3 dwelling units per acre to 4.25. Just offer you a brief overview of the context here. The future land use map indicates a subject property for residential suburban single family, which is a low density residential designation that's appropriate largely for single family and duplex type housing. You can see over on the left hand side, there's some red that's indicated here as well as some green. The red is a commercial marina future land use map designation, and the green indicates park, recreation, conservation, nature, uses of that nature. And you can see over on the eastern side of the subject property, there is additional residential suburban single family style designation. To look at the zoning that corresponds to this, again, we have this kind of sort of multifamily level housing on the subject property, as well as this tourist business designation for zoning that is on these adjoining properties. And then that kind of goes over to that low density R1 designation that you saw with the single family suburban style future land use designation. There's a PUD here to the south. It actually consists of a golf course. The tourist business is one particular zoning designation that I'd like to call out. We typically see low density residential districts, but the tourist business is a district we don't talk much about. And so to pull the district description from the ordinance, it says the purpose of this district shall be to provide and encourage the proper grouping of roadside service areas that will accommodate the needs of the traveling public in a manner that prevents traffic congestion, traffic hazards, and blight on the streets, roads, and highways within Chatham County. And to create and protect commercial water recreation areas. This is the description of this district. I will say that it includes uses that might include restaurants, gas stations, tourist-oriented businesses, in essence. And this is within that context. Just to offer you an aerial view of the subject property, we can see that there is an established and functioning marina here. This is the subject property. You are able to see the existing pavilion. And the duplex that's situated on the property, these are the single family homes that you were able to see from the zoning and flume. And this is under development as the Wilmington Island Marina. And you can see that this is rather substantial use that will have significant off-street parking, a restaurant, and a marina use. So there is kind of a mixture of uses here. You can see that it's increasing in intensity as you come around this corner and into the golf course. There's a little bit of zoning history here that I think is significant simply because these were structures that are existing on the parcel that were duly permitted by Chatham County at the time, not losing sight of the fact that this is a request to rezone the property. But the structures that were permitted on the property, the existing duplex that's here and the pavilion that you see here, it is under the ownership of the Police Recreation Association. Suffice it to say that it also has a little bit of legal history where there were some challenges and disagreements ultimately about the nature of the use and its appropriateness in its zoning district. And that is what has resulted in the present petition here today for this parcel to be rezoned. The request by the petitioners to rezone again to that PUD designation and for this board to consider the general development plan that is associated with this development. And the purpose is essentially the continuation of the existing residential duplex and the proper establishment of a club or lodge use by the Police Recreation Association. And associated with that, the uses that the petitioner is requesting to be included within the planned district, one-family dwellings, two-family dwellings, club or lodge uses, principal, temporary or incidental use signs, and accessory buildings. I can say that there is no new development that is proposed in association with this request, only that that is reflected in the county-approved site plan back in 2019. To offer you the club or lodge definition, this is a private incorporated incorporated or unincorporated association for civic, social, cultural, religious, recreational or similar activities. This does not include shooting ranges, and it's operated specifically for the benefit of particular members of the organization, not open to the general public. And this use does not include sale or consumption of alcoholic beverages on the premise. Those are typically handled by a separate licensing process. They're not within the scope of this zoning consideration. The use restrictions in association with the club use that the petitioner is requesting are numbered 1 through 7 below. It indicates that these particular facilities would only be made available to active or retired members of the Savannah Police Department who left the department in good standing, and their families and accompanied guests. Club or lodge facilities may not be rented to the general public. Events will not start before 9 a.m., and they will not run later than 10 p.m. Any amplified sound would conform to current county ordinances. Fireworks and discharge of firearms would be strictly prohibited. And children that are under 12 would require adult supervision while on the property. This is the development plan that the petitioner is submitting in association with this request. And again, it largely reflects that 2019 site plan approval by Chatham County. We can see the existing duplex and the pavilion on the property, as well as proposed development details here. Again, emphasizing that there is no new development that is proposed in association with this request. In staff review of the general development plan, we did find a couple of deficiencies, but none that were of a nature that would require this to be continued. These are things that would be considered through staff's review of the specific development plan. And so with that, MPC staff does recommend approval of this request with two conditions. The first, as this particular use is inconsistent with the current future land use designation, staff does recommend that the petitioner seek a future land use map amendment that is consistent with the adopted policy document. Also, staff does recommend that the general development plan be updated to satisfy the requirements of Section 4-6.53-2. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Is the petitioner here?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Robert McCorkle. I'm here today on behalf of the Police Recreation Association of Savannah, which is a nonprofit organization that is tasked with maintaining the Savannah Police Camp. The use, as you heard, is a very unique use. It is ultimately a duplex residence. It's a single-family residence for two families that live out there. The police use Savannah Police Department uses it as a reward to young officers to have an opportunity to live in such a beautiful location. And that is the use that exists out there for, you know, roughly about 340 days a year. There's a picture of what it looks like from the road. They built a beautiful building over there and two officers reside there. They also have a recreation building that is built out by the water that is available to police officers and former police officers of the Savannah Police Department. This end of the island has a very long history of commercial and club uses. From 1927 to 1940, this end of the island down here was the Savannah Yacht Club. In 1944, William Hall, who was the Savannah police chief, conveyed the lot that the old police camp was on, which was right here, 70 feet to the west of where it is now, to the trustees of the police department to maintain as a police camp. It specifically states that he left it for the purpose of promoting, fostering, and maintaining the physical and mental well-being of all the members of the Savannah Police Department. It is intended that the property shall be used for the purpose of providing opportunities and facilities for the recreation, relaxation, and pleasure of the members of the Savannah Police Department and their families. The next year, 1945, Henry Waltower, who developed all of Wilmington Island, left the other parcel that made up the old police camp right here in his will to the police department for free so that they could expand the police department because that was the vision that he had for the end of the island he developed. The police camp has been on this end of the island for 81 years since. During that time, Sail Harbor Marina, which is right here, which is a full-service boat repair yard, has been in operation since 1982. In the 80s and 90s down here at the end of the island, there was the Lightship Tavern, Restaurant, and Bar, which my parents wouldn't let us go down to the end of the island because it used to be pretty wild down there. And in 1963, zoning came along, And all of this end of the island, including the subject parcel, was zoned TB, which is tourist business. This is a heavy commercial zone. It allows marinas, restaurants serving alcohol, gas stations, liquor stores, truck stops, auto repair stores, nightclubs and taverns, as well as self-storage facilities, among other uses. All of those uses are permitted currently 70 feet to the west of where our piece of property is now. In 2006, the piece of property that we're talking about here, where the police camp is now, was rezoned for a planned residential development. The recession came shortly after, so it never got built. That planned development, which site plans still exist and could be built today, has planned for six residences that could all be up to 35 feet high, and a community association provision down by the water. So that's what is currently permitted on the site, six residences with it up to 35 feet tall and a community association building down on the water. In 2015, the owner of Sail Harbor Marina attempted to rezone this parcel back to TB so they could expand the marina into the site. That zoning was denied because the use was determined to be improper, and they wanted to leave the buffer in place, which is the property as it sits now. In 2016-17, the development of the new Savannah Marina project, which was shown to you earlier, started in earnest. This is the same time that our neighbor purchased the property next door. At that time, the police camp, as it sat, was in terrible condition. The buildings were almost condemned. They also had an environmental contamination problem that was giving them a potable water problem, making it difficult for people to continue to live out there. And so the idea was hatched to swap properties, to move the police camp from right here to right here, so that, and in addition to that, to build them brand new facilities. And so that's what ended up happening. We moved them 70 feet to the east and applied into the brownfield program through the state. We completely remediated the old site and built them a state-of-the-art brand new facility with a duplex and the pavilion, which I showed you a picture of. Win-win for all involved, and allowed them to stay there on the property for another 80 years. All of that was done with the approval of the county. We went through, I was in the room. I'm probably the only person in this room that was in the room for all of these meetings. And at the time we obtained a zoning confirmation letter approving it, we were talking about the process of having a zoning, but we were determined by the county that we didn't need one. And part of the reason they determined that was because the use is primarily a residence, not really a club or lodge in the traditional sense, like the one that is directly across the street from this piece of property, which is the Savannah Country Club, which has hundreds of parking spaces and operates every single day. Or the Savannah Yacht Club, for example. And so we went through the process. The county ultimately and the MPC approved our site plan. Construction permits were issued. Construction plans were approved, and the buildings were constructed. And ultimately a CO was issued at the beginning of 2021. During that time is when ultimately the trouble started with the neighbor, with our neighbor. And so the adjacent neighbor initially tried to file an appeal to the zoning confirmation letter, which was denied by the county attorney and wasn't heard. And then after construction commenced in 2019, I'll just show you pictures in general of the duplex. In 2019, a suit was filed in April of 2020 after the project was already in construction to try to determine that the use was not permitted based on the fear of what the perceived impacts would be of the use once it started. And so there were multiple negotiations between the parties, but there were things offered about restrictions on number of events, building a wall, putting up landscaping, doing all these things. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the parties were not able to reach an agreement. And so ultimately, over a course of years, over the last several years, the judge determined that the county was wrong and that the use of this property ultimately is a club or lodge, and that the club or lodge is not permitted as it is currently zoned, which is why we're here today. It is currently not allowed, according to the judge, and so we have to rezone the property in order to allow it. Obviously, the properties involved with this, all of who were represented by counsel, would have never done this and never spent millions of dollars remediating a brownfield site and building a new facility. And the police camp, the police department certainly wouldn't have given up their property and moved had they thought that they wouldn't be able to stay there. And you're going to hear today that we're trying to do an end around the judge's ruling. And that's partially true in the sense that the judge's ruling is out there, but what it says is we can't use it as it's currently zoned. And so we wanted to move forward with the zoning, which was always anticipated if the case went the way it went. And so what we've ultimately proposed is a PUD and master plan for this site. It is an as-built master plan. All of this has been constructed and in operation for 5 years. And so it is going to continue to operate in the manner in which it does. We worked with the county, with meetings with the county attorney and county manager, in order to work on what this PUD was going to look like, and also with staff. And we tried to narrow it down as tightly as possible. In a way, this is a downzoning in the sense that the uses are so restricted And so one family dwelling, two family dwelling, and a club or a lodge, but not just any club or lodge. We added restrictions in here that restricts the fact that it can only be used by the police association, which is active members and previous members and their families, officers and their families. And so we also added additional restrictions, which was mentioned by staff, which prevents events later than 10 o'clock during the week, midnight on the weekends, other restrictions about fireworks and firearms and children using it. And just so you know, this is not open all day long. Anyone can just go out there from the police department anytime they want to. The association maintains a calendar on this piece of property. And to even go out there at all, you have to calendar your access to the property, even individually, in order to go onto the site. Otherwise, it completely operates as a residential duplex. The purpose of a PUD, which we're asking for, as mentioned by staff, is to provide an environment for a stable and desired character in harmony with the established proposed land use pattern in the surrounding areas. I think it's important not just to simply focus on the surrounding pattern of the residential to our east. Going back up here to look at the site, this property acts as a buffer between a heavy commercial zone and a single family residential zone. The Savannah Marina, which is currently under construction, is seafood restaurant, bar, ship store, a brand new marina with gas sales, 200 parking spaces. Future phases will have between 100 and 200 multifamily residential units. There are no restrictions there on what the uses are or the times or the operation or anything else. The primary function of this property, though, is a residence. And so it's, as I mentioned, different from other clubs and lodges because it's not open daily. It's not used by, there's no pool out there like the yacht club where people are hanging out there every day. Our density is only two units over 1.88 acres, which is less than one unit per acre on the site. We agree with staff that we believe that this use, as we have strictly construed it through our efforts on this master plan, do meet the criteria. But I want to mention three of the criteria that were mentioned in the objection that was received and was sent out to everybody and that was in your packet. One of them is that this project is going to create traffic volumes that adversely impact the surrounding neighborhood. Whatever impact there is from the police camp being on this property, it's been there for 81 years. It accesses it using the same property the police camp used for the 81 years previous. Additionally, there's a club across the street that has hundreds of parking spaces, and there is a marina project being built next door that's going to have hundreds of parking spaces. And so whatever traffic is being put in by the police camp for their limited number of events is not going to have an actual effect. The other one was anticipated noise levels from the property. And the objection mentions that constant operation of this site is likely. Well, the good news is we got a five-year history of operation on the site to go by. And I have the calendar of events for the year 2025 beginning at the beginning of the year. There were a total of 18 events on the site between January 25th and December 25th. There were none before that. Baby shower, graduation dinner, baby shower, birthday party, baby shower, family gathering, graduation dinner, birthday party, birthday party, birthday party, Thanksgiving lunch. There are three left this year. Thanksgiving lunch, a family gathering, and a Christmas lunch. So those are the type of events that are primarily occurring out there. Again, 18 events out of 365 days of the year. It is not constant operation that is likely out there. And I would proffer that whatever noise and activity is coming from the Sail Harbor Marina on the other side of this property right here, which again is a full boat repair yard, was significantly louder than whatever is happening on the property. And the last one was that this use of the site would certainly decrease the value and marketability of the residences next door. I simply don't believe that to be true. The property that is immediately next door to this in 2020, when our project was under construction, was valued at $1.51 million. In 2025, it was valued by the county at $2.31 million, an $800,000 increase over the time period that we've been operating immediately next door. Additionally, I would proffer to you that some of the most valuable pieces of property in Savannah are located immediately adjacent to the only six properties in all of Chatham County that are zoned TB and that are used for these types of uses. The Savannah Yacht Club and Isle of Hope Marina being two of the primary examples. I just show you this to show this is the Savannah Yacht Club right here. Obviously, full marina, pools, bar, outdoors, music. I'm a member. Go over there all the time. It's great. And the house that's immediately next door to it, $3.1 million. The house next to it, $5 million. This is the Isle of Hope Marina, TB zoning, public use marina operating fully immediately next door to residences on Bluff Drive, perhaps the most desired street in all of Chatham County. Again, $2.17 million next to it, $5 million next to that. And so I don't think there's any evidence at all that this use next door and having two police officers live next door to you is in any way harming the values of the property. The property, when it was acquired and for many years, has had a club, a much, much larger club operating directly across the street. There is a 10, 11 story condominium building down here on the corner. And there is also, again, TV zoning all over the end of the island, which is going to have a marina, restaurant, bar, 200 parking spaces, and an additional 200 units of residential coming in the future. And so whatever effects are going to come from this have already been felt. And so what we're asking for you today is to not make the police, the Savannah Police Department, remove their police camp. Because if we don't get it rezoned, the reality is that ultimately they would have to move. We'll have to, they're going to have to find a different place to move to, and they won't be here. We believe this site works as a perfect buffer between the ultimate marina development that's next door and the TV zoning that's next door on the west and the single family residences that operate to the east. We believe they have a history, a long history of 81 years residing on this year at the island of the desire of a lot of people. And so even though we know we have had issues with our neighbors, we have done everything we can to try to make the officers who live on site be accessible, make the association be acceptable, negotiate whatever terms we can negotiate. And we tried to put some of those restrictions into the PUD. What's great about the PUD is, we can't build another building on the site without coming back to you. There have to be public hearings. The neighbors are going to get noticed. So we can't build another duplex to add more officers out there. We can't even build a shed without coming back and asking for permission. The other thing is we can't add any uses to it. So we have no ability to go out there and add uses or change what we're doing in order to do it without coming back to you and, again, asking for permission. And then lastly, it grants assurance that what is there is going to stay there and that there won't be any changes. And these restrictions in place will be there permanently unless we come back and ask for permission and go back to county commission. And so with that, sorry, I was talking fast. I know you wanted me to get done quickly. I know there's a big agenda today, but with that, we support staff's recommendation. I'm happy to answer any questions. We would ask for a chance to rebut whatever objection is presented.
Thank you, Mr. McCorkle. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. McCorkle?
Thank you.
Ms. Amick.
Mr. McCorkle.
Yes, ma'am.
And you were talking fast, and I was trying
Sorry.
To keep up.
Sorry.
We appreciate that, though.
Perhaps I missed this, but I know this is rezoning. I understand that. Mm-hmm. What precipitated the request to get rid of the police farm?
What precipitated their request to get
precipitated it? What caused the gentleman to not want it there?
I'm sure you'll hear that from them. I mean, I think that at least when we were going through the discussions of it being located where it's currently located, the objection started while it was under construction and while we were moving through the process. My understanding was when the developer originally talked to them, there wasn't a strong objection, but that objection developed over time before the project was even completed. So I think it was about what the perceived impact of it was going to be next to them, because there was no history of it being located in that specific location. So I'm sure you'll hear that from them, but I don't know specifically. What's led to the rezoning is ultimately the judge's decision that as it's currently zoned, we can't be there.
So when the neighbor bought the property, they were aware something was going there.
They bought the property in 2016. I don't remember the exact date of when the dialogue started in 2016 and 17. So I'm not sure specifically, but we were meeting and having discussions by 2017 about the project.
And when did the neighbor buy their property?
2016. And then I think it was either remodeled or completely rebuilt between 2018 and 2020 or 2017 and 2020.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? All right, we'll move into public comment. And if you could keep it concise and quick, maybe not as quick as Mr. McCorkle, but quick. And if you hear something, an item that has already been mentioned, please try to keep your comments germane to things that we have not yet heard. So in the speaker cards. I've got five of these cards, so please keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. First up, I have Davey Tanner. Or is it Davi? Or sorry, David Tanner. Sorry, David, it's just the spacing David. Of the extra letter. Sorry about that, David.
Mr. Tanner. Thank you all for letting me talk. Just to sort of rebut some of the things Mr. McCorkle said.
Just state your name for the record into the microphone,
David,
please.
David Tanner.
Thank you.
The events that have been taking place there have been in light of this court ruling. Prior to that, events at the police camp, which was far removed, were quite loud when they'd have parties with loud music. And I don't know specifically, but I'm sure Mr. Ferrara will tell you, but I believe, to answer your question, when he bought the property, it was zoned residential. And so what we're objecting to is what we thought was a residential property is now going to be a property that's going to have an entertainment venue. And the noise is great when they have parties. I have nothing against the police. In fact, I deeply respect the police, and I hate that this has happened. But if you look at the time sequence here, somebody wanted to build a marina. They wanted it to be a big platform. The police camp land was going to prevent that, so they came up with a swap, and then they built the existing structure and to use it as they now want to use it when it wasn't zoned for that. So what we're being asked is to forgive them their sins after the fact. And I think Vince, my neighbor, who is directly adjacent to this, has grandchildren. This is a place where his family gathers frequently. They have small children. I myself have a six-month-old grandchild. And I can't imagine on Saturday night at midnight or 11 o'clock with, you know, whatever music is blaring, carrying across the water, trying to get these children to sleep. And I don't know. I was unaware that there's no alcohol there. I find that very hard to believe that there won't ultimately be alcohol there. And again, I really respect the beliefs. I want them to have a good place to go, but this land swap was ill-conceived, in my opinion. And I think it will disrupt the residential nature of our neighborhood. And as it stands now, the way they're using it, okay, I guess. They're not making any noise. But as soon as the parties start on Saturday night, I would ask you, do you want music going with 200 or 300 people next to your house on Saturday night? That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Excuse me. Would you prefer the marina be there?
Excuse me?
Would you prefer that the marina be there?
No.
Okay.
The marina built docks in front of that land, and I thought that was wrong, and I guess y'all approved that, but I don't understand how that could be. Thank you.
So I've got Vince.
I got a question, sir.
Sorry, Mr. Welch.
Commissioner Welch, you know, I think there's not going to be music in the marina with a bar and a restaurant and people not knowing the hours they close, leaving the place maybe intoxicated, maybe being a hazard to that road. We all know how dangerous that road is.
I do think all of that. I would have never approved all that to be done in the first place, I guess.
I really think you wouldn't find that at a police camp happening. That could happen next door to the marina. We all know what goes on in the marina. Next thing, you got a band.
Well,
you got a lot of music that can carry through whatever hours they're granted, they close.
So you're asking me if I want to add more noise?
There will be more noise, but I'm just saying, look at the full picture, folks.
Well, I see the whole picture.
Okay.
And to be honest, I wish the marina wasn't going to be there, but the marina as it stands now, as it is now, noise problem.
Not yet. It's under construction.
I didn't say yet. I said now.
Okay,
if
we can get the next speaker up, please, and let's try to keep it to questions and answers. Vince, can't see the last three letters, Ferrano, I think. Ferraro, Vince Ferraro.
Yeah, I'm the 531 Canal Road property owner. And the first thing I want to say is the
Sir, police, just state your name for the record, please.
Vincent Ferraro.
Thank you.
And the police association deserves all this and more. And we tried to make that happen in mediation before we went to court. I even offered to purchase the property. And nobody was interested, and they didn't want to hear our arguments. But that being said, the one thing that they're not saying here is there's 550 people that are eligible to use this facility for their own function at a minimum cost. So Robert said that there was only 18 functions in the last year. Well, that's correct because there was a court order in place. But we've seen it before that. Before that, there was lots of functions, very loud music, lots of people. In the beginning, I didn't think too much of it. When I purchased the property in 16, I did my due diligence, and it was zoned residential next to me up to 5 units. I said, that's fine. I didn't have a problem with this. But since then, they moved the people down here, and we found that, yes, there were parties, and they deserve this. Like I said, they need to have a place that everybody can go and not limited to 20 people. I get it. But my bedroom is 55 feet from the venue, 55 feet. So I respectfully ask all you people on the board, would y'all want that next to your bedroom window, 55 feet away? I really don't think if it was zoned correctly that they would have allowed some, they would have made them have some sort of buffer or put it in a different location. It's 55 feet. And I want to ask anybody on the board, would you sign up for that? And so, no, there wasn't a lot in the last year and a half, 2 years, but that's because there was a court order in place. And so, you know, it's just not right for my family to have to deal with and my neighbors adjacent because we know what it was like in the past and it's going to head back that direction. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ferraro. Next, we've got Jonathan Salter.
Jonathan Salter, really all I've got to say is just kind of reiterate what Vincent was just touching on. You know, they are drawing comparisons to Savannah Yacht Club, Isle of Hope Marina, and the residents that butt up to that. Those venues are hundreds, you know, 1,000+ feet away from the nearest, home. You know, where the Yacht Club takes place, they put it out on the point. They put the bands out there furthest away on their property from the nearest home. Like he said, here it's going to be 55 feet from his door. So not exactly a one-to-one comparison. So that's really all I had to say.
Thank you, Mr. Salter. Any questions for Mr. Salter? All right. Dennis Chandler.
She getting old, ain't for sissies. My name's Dennis Chandler. I'm second bot over from this where the police camp is now. We've been fighting this back and forth now for years, before the Olympics were here. And during that period of time, the property is sold like 3 different times, different people. But once it got the last one, Mr. Long, when they made the change, the property that police camp had previously was a large piece of property. It was maybe almost 3 times the size of what we got right now. Where this property is, it's one of the dangerous curves in Chatham County. I know I've been there many a nights holding heads on and what have you. And that's facts. Gadden, where you got noise, the traffic. Nobody's done a traffic check just like that marina they're building down there now. They added 200 parking spaces in there. That has nothing to do with this, but it's just a fact. You add more and more. If you allow it to come with the amount of people, it could be even more than that, because if a friend could say a friend's a friend, a friend, it's a friend. You a friend. You're my friend, so you can have a part of it. What we're doing is asking you to please consider rezoning, leave the property in where it is, how it is now. And I think that that's all I got to say to you. I'd appreciate, because that's like Mr. Ferraro said, I don't think anybody, either one of y'all on this board, would want to be living right next door to that noise. When it was in the old place, the noise would get so bad, it'd rain down that river, and you couldn't even sit on the dock and have a decent afternoon. We don't want that no more. We don't want it for Mr. Ferraro. I don't want it for myself and the rest of the neighbors. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. Chandler. Any questions for Mr. Chandler? All right. Last speaker card I have is from Mr. John Northup.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Northup. I'm an attorney with Bone Falgan, and I'm here representing Mr. Ferraro and his wife. And I have a very limited amount of time, so I'll try to be brief. I'll try not to speak as quickly as Mr. McCorkle, but I'm sure I probably will. So apologies in advance. I wanted to give a little bit of background here. I'm going to try not to be repetitive, but you heard about the property swap. The property swap was initiated by Wilmington Partners LLC in 2017. Basically, they said, you know what? They acquired the property on the very end that borders the marsh up near the Wilmington River here. Sorry. And then a few years later, they acquired the Sail Harbor property and the subject property, both of which were owned by Sail Harbor. What they didn't have was they didn't have the big piece in the middle, the 3.15 acre property that was the site of the former police camp. So what did they do? They came up with a swap and they said, okay, PRA, we will swap you our property. We'll build a new pavilion and a new dock and a duplex apartment building. And we'll in return, we'll get your property so that then at the end of the swap, Wilmington Partners had 7.5 contiguous acres, which they're now developing into Wilmington Marina. I hope that turns out great. Shoot, I hope they redo the Lightship Tavern. I loved that place when I was little. But the problem was that the terms of the swap were not really well thought out. And the reason is because the property that was originally the police camp was zoned TB. It did allow a club or lodge as that's defined under the zoning ordinance. The property that was swapped, the substitute property, was not. It was zoned PR3, which is multifamily residential. And I won't go into all the history. I think Mr. McCorkle covered all that. But the problem is they swapped this property and they thought that they could operate a club or a lodge. And, you know, that wasn't something that they should have been able to do. Now, the intended use, or I'll back up, the site plan that was approved in 2019, that's an interesting point because there was a site plan that was approved. It's in your packet. The problem with the site plan was that the site plan was submitted with the primary purpose of this property being cited as a multifamily or a duplex property, a residential property, and the entire pavilion and dock concept were kind of sold as an accessory to that. And so if you look at the approved site plan from 2019, it talks about the primary purpose is a duplex property, residential property that two people live on. And it said everything else is just an accessory. Didn't mention anything about what the police really were going to do once they got that site plan approved and the pavilion constructed. And so once they did get it constructed, what did they do? Well, according to their rules that were enacted in 2021, the pavilion and the dock are available for use by all active and retired members of the Savannah Police Department and their families and guests. As of 2022, that was at least 535 members. That's a lot of people.
You can have another 3 minutes, Mr. Rothman.
I'm sorry?
You can have another 3 minutes.
Great, thank you. The rules also allow up to six parties per quarter greater than 25 people and no limit on the number of parties that are less than 25 people. So that's a party, doing some quick math, that's a party of more than 25 people every other weekend with an unlimited number of smaller parties on all other weekends and weekdays and weeknights. They've also for now proposed 25 parking spots. The original site plan that was approved had 4. Now they're saying we want 25 parking spots and we want to have all these things. And that was how the original site plan was sold. So what put a stop to all that? Well, when they actually did the swap, they started operating the property. And as you've heard, there was music. There were lots of parties. They were operating it as a club and a lodge. And so my client, Mr. Ferraro, filed a lawsuit. He said, you know what, Chatham Superior Court, tell us that this is violative of the current multifamily zoning. And you know what? The Chatham County Superior Court agreed. They entered an order that's in your packet that saw through the disguise. They said this is not an accessory ancillary use to a residential. The primary use of this property, as it's being used by the PRA, is as a club and a lodge. And that is not permitted under the current zoning. So that's why we're here. Mr. McCorkle admitted it. They still contend that the primary use of this is residential. Not when you're allowing 535 people to reserve the property for a party. They've come up with a number of restrictions that they maintain are going to limit the or mitigate the impact on neighbors. Those limitations aren't even really that limiting. I mean, they've said that the property, if it's approved, must end by 10 p.m. on Sunday through Thursday and midnight on Friday or Saturday. That's not very restrictive. But here's the other point here is that even if those restrictions were to be in place, put yourself in the position of my client or any of the other neighbors. What are you going to do if you want to enforce those restrictions? You're going to call the police on the police? That's a pretty untenable situation. First of all, you're going to, you know, try to ask the police, hey, you know, please regulate yourself. And second of all, you're going to antagonize the police, and nobody wants to do that. That's not a good situation. So basically, we're here asking this commission to look at the proposed zoning, and there are a number of reasons why that zoning doesn't work. Look at the criteria that you guys are compelled to follow when you look at a rezoning, and none of those criteria are met. The proposed club or lodge would bring significant additional traffic. Mr. McCorkle tried to make the point that there wouldn't be any additional traffic. If you look at that map, the old police camp had an access road off of Wilmington Island Road. This one does not. It literally comes right in, right out, right off of Wilmington Island Road. If you think that having 25 cars there on a nearly nightly basis is not going to increase traffic on a big bend with no stoplight, I'm not sure I agree. Having the police camp in constant operation next door to Mr. Ferraro's house, it's 55 feet away from his bedroom, that's going to devalue his property. Yeah, sure. All properties waterfront have gone up. We've all benefited from that. I mean, that's been great for the community. But yeah, I'll wrap up. So in conclusion, Wilmington Partners and the PRA made a development deal that didn't work here. Unlike the original police camp property, the substitute property was not zoned for a club or lodge. They're here playing the only hand that they've got left to play. They're trying to get a rezoning of the property. The problem is that existing residential zoning has been here for a reason. It's been here for almost 20 years. East of Sail Harbor, it's a residential zone. West of Sail Harbor, it's different, but that's why the police camp was where it was originally. Why put it 55 feet away from a residence? That is not fitting this neighborhood. Now, there are alternatives here. Again, we don't think that the police should have no options for the kind of activities that they're planning at the police camp. The problem is this just isn't a good fit for it. It's right smack dab next to a residential community and right smack dab next to my client's bedroom window. So with all due respect, I think that Mr. Ferraro and his neighbors should not have to suffer because a real estate developer made a bad deal. Please deny this rezoning and let's find an alternative location for the police camp. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Mr. Northup? All right, Mr. McCorkle, would you like to rebut?
Thank you. You know, there's a lot of words being used there, such as constant operation and nearly every night. And it continues what the discussion has been about this from the very beginning when this was being constructed. There's also a comment that Mr. Ferraro filed the lawsuit in response to these parties that were going on. Well, The project wasn't even fully constructed when the lawsuit was filed. So the lawsuit was filed while the building was being built. And so there were no parties going on immediately adjacent to the residence. All of this has been about what could happen. It could be every night. It could be hundreds of people. It could be all these things. But the reality is that it's not. We haven't had issues going on for the last couple of years out there. Like I said, we are very sensitive. Obviously, this has been going on a long time. We are extremely sensitive to the neighbor next door. But this wasn't, to couch this as a bad deal, there was a comment in the pre-meeting about the fact that when a permit was issued and somebody relies on that permit and constructs on it, it should mean something. Obviously, the person whose sins we would be forgiving, I suppose, are mine, because me and the other lawyers and the other developers and the other engineers that were involved in this from the very beginning were all in the rooms when we had those discussions with the county about whether or not we needed to rezone the property. And the discussion from the county, and it was very clear what we were doing. Everyone knew what we were doing. We're moving the police here. This is why we're moving them. This is why we're building it. It was the entire, how do we go about doing it? And the thought process was with the zoning administrator at the time that the vast majority of the time, this is simply a residence. And therefore, we don't really need to rezone this. We think the association use is so minor of it for the events that it's not necessary to rezone it. And so that's where we went forward. And they issue permits, and we constructed the facility again at the expense of millions of dollars. And so ultimately, a judge decided that the zoning administrator was wrong and that this qualifies as a club use, and we can't do it without this. So we've tried to go about this in the most reasonable way possible that allow them to maintain on the end of the island they've been on for 81 years, and that is to have this strictly construed PUD that's in front of you today. And so we support staff's recommendation for approval. We believe the standards are met for the reasons that we have set forth. It does not add additional traffic, and it does not have – there's zero evidence of additional traffic or accidents caused by this or lowering of property values or even there being events at the site that have caused a problem. This is all just subjective as to what could happen. But the reality is that this is a well-maintained site. It's a beautiful new facility. And as I rode out there and took these pictures, it is – deadly quiet out there for the vast majority of the time. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. Obviously, we have several members of the police department here that are affiliated with the association. So if you had any specific questions that related to them, they're happy to answer something to them.
Any questions?
All the neighbors seem to agree that in the past couple of years, they haven't had any problems. And you're saying, you know, this is all based on theoretically they think there might be. Has there been any changes over the last few years in the kinds of events that are allowed to be booked that, you know, once this is all settled and done, it'll go back to a different way, and then they'll have these crazy parties that they're worried about?
I think it's better organized than it was now. I think I wasn't involved going back in the 80s and 90s and things, and I don't doubt that in 81 years there have been events that have been too loud or that went too late or whatever else. I assure you that since this has all happened, that it's, again, there's a calendar. You can't even set foot on the property without signing up on the calendar. The general standard that's given to people is it can't be more than 50 people. I'm unaware of there being live bands. They have never had an event with hundreds of people there. I mean, that's just not, that's not what's being done out there.
So and there I'm won't unaware. Be any kind of change to that once this is settled?
There are no changes to the rules, and we intended to try to put those restrictions in place so that we can operate it again. This is a very nice facility now. At the time, it was not, at least in the later years of it. And so there are many more eyeballs on it now. And also the other thing that happened is going back in history to those times, there was a group of trustees that were fairly loose that operated this. And it depended on who was the assistant chief and who was the chief of detectives and who it was. And so there wasn't an actual organization that was running it. One of the things that happened when we moved this property was we created the Police Recreation Association, which is an actual nonprofit entity that has a board and members on it that have meetings that regulate what goes on in the site, and they oversee it now. So that's one very good thing that I failed to mention that has been put in place since the time this was moved.
Any other questions?
I do.
Mr. Welsh?
I can't believe I'm saying this, but Isle of Hope has a noise ordinance. No bands after 10 o'clock on their pier. And they always have their fall festival there, right? Hundreds of people. And the houses aren't 1,000 feet away from the marina either.
They're not.
They're right there. I know who built those houses. And I never thought of. What about a noise ordinance put on the police department? I mean, I'm sorry, guys. To answer the question, nobody answered, would you want this 55 feet from your window? Probably not 55 feet, but would I want that in my neighborhood? Even though I live in a gated neighborhood, doesn't mean it's safe. Yeah. My answer is yeah. It's been there. They've been in that area for such a long time. But could a noise ordinance be put? And if you put a noise ordinance on there, then you're doing the same thing for the marina. That's going to have a bar and a restaurant. And I guarantee you an outside band. And most bands play past 10 o'clock at night. It's in Coach's Corner. I get it. But this is a marina. And people come in all hours of the day, off their boat, coming from the river. It's just, you're going to have more traffic and more noise. I'm telling you, from that, I remember Sail Harbor. It wasn't a weekend. There wasn't a fight at the Sail Harbor going on. I was constant police arrest there. And it just happens anytime you have alcohol served. So, I'm always careful what you wish for, but if that's the only thing I'd know to do is put an ordinance, then you have to apply the same thing for the marina down the road. They're going to have to abide by the same noise ordinance in that area. That's something to think about, but I don't see, it's just hard for me to accept and believe that the police department is causing a ruckus. I just, it's bad enough they get hammered, and I'm sad we only have 500 and how many? We should have 1,000. Look at your news every night, but it's hard to get police officers. And now we want to take away an R&R place for them. I'm not in favor of that. And, how we now discover this is going to be rezoned here. You knew all along what was going in here when it was being built and who it was for. Why now? Why the change now? I'll leave it at that.
Ms. Chair.
Mr. McCorkle, there is a list here of requirements for the use of this club or lodge, which basically says that only members in good standing and their families, et cetera. It can't be rented to the general public. Events cannot start before 9 and must end by 10, except for on Friday and Saturday, where they can end at midnight. That includes the cleanup after the event.
Correct.
Amplified sound must conform with the county ordinances and shall be directed away from residential dwellings or neighbors. And that firearms or fireworks can't be discharged on the property. So these are the things that the police are willing to live with, and they're in full agreement there, correct?
Yes, ma'am. It will be the zoning.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Melder?
This is just a comment. As a city manager, I learned that our police had a recreation association by virtue of this item coming into city. And I'm incredibly thankful for it. And I was really charmed to learn the history of the camp there. And I'm glad that we have two members of SPD that are able to live there and understand the issues with the land swap and the zoning. It seems pretty close to where it used to be, and I understand the concerns of the neighbors. But I'm very thankful that we have a place in our community for the Savannah Police Department to recreate and to bring their families, and thankful that it's a nice facility.
Yes, Mr. Ross.
Mr. McCorkle, is there a buffer fence there?
I think now it's like a chain link fence that has a screen in it. This is the trees that run in between. And I didn't walk on the site because again, I wasn't on the calendar. So I didn't walk on the site to get all the way down there to where the pavilion is, but this is the only picture that I have. But I believe it's a chain link fence that has one of those green screens running through it in there. But again, we had discussed at the time when we were trying to negotiate a resolution of having a wall and landscaping and all these other kind of things, but that just ultimately ended up breaking down.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any discussion?
Thank you.
Floor is open for motion.
Move to approve staff recommendation.
With the conditions?
Yes, with conditions.
Jeff Patrika, second.
Motion has been properly moved and seconded. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Urban?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Natrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
I too vote yes. The motion carries. Do you want to take a quick moment and recognize that we have a Georgia State Representative here and Ellen Westbrook from District 163. We appreciate your presence here. Thank you very much for your service. And we will move on to item number 5, major subdivision, the Bluff at Moon River I'm in the wrong agenda. Hold on one moment. Sorry. Item 8, special use permit to establish a parking facility in the TC1 zoning district at 2909 and 2913 Bull Street.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to need to recuse myself on this.
Mr. Trika. We'll resume in just a moment once we can clear the hallway. Officers, don't get the fire marshal on you. Clear this doorway there for me. All right, Ms. Morrow, when you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the Planning Commission, Edward Morrow again. This is a request for a special use permit to establish a principal use parking facility for the parcels at 2909 and 2913 Bull Street. Were this petition successful, these two are going to be recombined, obviously, for the development of this use. A special use permit, again, is a request for a specific use that could be appropriate within its given zoning district as long as certain standards are met. And obviously it receives the approval of City Council. This is a TC1 zoning district. Just to look at the context, the future land use map is indicated for traditional commercial use. And you can see that the traditional commercial 1 zoning district is in place here on this side of Bull Street. On the other side, there is the Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent neighborhood, which is zoned RSF6. So on one side of the street, the yellow indicates residential suburban single family zoning, which is low density residential. And the red on the other side of Bull Street indicates traditional commercial flume. There is some necessary context to understanding what's going on here. There's a lot of activity within this particular triangle that you see at your screen. If any of you are familiar with Late Air, we are kind of just south of that location. So I'm going to share with you some recent developments that I think provide that necessary context. At the very top, there is an apartment building that has been long under development. It originally began as apartments, and I believe it is now under the control of SCAD. And this particular development that you're seeing on your screen is going to consist of approximately 180 apartment units that will be student housing. This will have adequate parking for the students that will live there, but if any of you are familiar with SCAD, you are not permitted as a visitor to use SCAD's parking facilities, and you must park elsewhere. And so that's one development in the area. If you are familiar with the social club that existed on the western portion, these are the townhomes that are now going up that adjoin Pearl Street. And so the parking was subdivided off of that. And you can see that there are garages that are at the front of these. And so any on-street parking that was available is now belonging to these property owners to give them access to the street. Finally, earlier this year, there was a petition at 3030 Barnard Street for relief of on-street parking requirement in association with the establishment of a restaurant. What you can see here, the Zoning Board of Appeals did grant full relief of the 24 vehicle spaces that would have been required as off-street parking for the restaurant, pizza restaurant that is proposed at this parcel. You can see here, this is where that parking would have been located, where the townhomes are now located. So. This very same petitioner, who is one of our board members and has recused himself, I thought it would be appropriate, given some of the questions I received, to provide some exhibits from a similar petition that came in at the intersection of Drayton and Henry Streets earlier this year. And so the exhibits that you're seeing right now are from city-approved site plan submissions that occurred in relation to that particular parking lot request. And so some things that I felt would be beneficial. The request is only for a surface parking lot. One of the beneficial items that I noticed in evaluating this, whenever a principal use off-street parking lot is built, there are ADA accessible spaces that must be built with that. And so that was noteworthy in my opinion. In addition, there are lighting standards. And so what you're seeing here in this exhibit on the right-hand side of the screen, these are light posts. And these bands indicate the amount and intensity of light that would be thrown off of these lights and off of the parcel boundaries. Savannah's new zone does regulate the extent to which non-residential uses may pollute areas with light. And so what you're seeing here is that there is a maximum extent and a maximum intensity of that light that may come from these light fixtures that would be installed in the parking lot. Also, this is a screen snip of the landscaping exhibit. So you can see that this particular parking lot is proposed to be properly landscaped in accordance with the city's landscaping ordinance. And also, because this was in a historic district, it was required to receive a COA for the wall that will surround. And so what you're seeing here is a cross-section of that wall that will be installed at that location. So it is a parking lot, and it won't just be asphalt. It will actually be a properly developed site. And so with that, MPC staff does recommend approval of this special use request to establish the principal use parking facility with two conditions. The first, that the requested special use consists only of a surface parking lot similar to that previously approved at Drayton and Henry, and that any expansion of the parking facility require review and approval by City Council. And the second condition, with which the petitioner is in agreement, that they install a continuous opaque aesthetic perimeter wall or a combination of wall and fence along the length of the property lines. Again, similar to that we will see at Drayton and Henry. Happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. And just for the record, because it was kind of lost as the last petitioners were leaving the room, Mr. Natrika has recused himself and he has left the room. As he is the petitioner, is there anyone here to represent him?
I am unaware.
So is there a representative for Mr. Natrika to speak on this petition? Not opposals, but for the petitioner. If not, are there any questions for staff from the board? Ms. Jarrett?
Can you tell me about the anticipated growth of this neighborhood outside of the what you had mentioned? Are there other commercial establishments in the wings to consider?
These, I believe, are most relevant. I know that at the top kind of this triangle, closer to the intersection of Victory and Bull, we are seeing a redevelopment of the 520 Wing site.
Okay.
That's another development that comes to mind.
Off the top of that commercial building immediately adjacent to it. Anything plans for that?
Not off the top of my head. I think this particular triangle is fairly active. We'll see very soon.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? All right, we will move into public comment. First up, I've got Chelsea Phillips.
Oh, no, not her.
Yep, you're on top. Sorry. Well, I'm going to move on to the next card. I want to keep this randomized. Bill Broeker. You'll get to speak. I'm going to shuffle it back into the cards here.
We'd like to all show our support for our neighbors.
State your name for the record, Mr. Broeker, and you've got three.
Well, I'm just Bill Broeker. It's just me. I live at 1 East 45th Street, and I'm here to speak in opposition to the change with respect to what's being contemplated for the site on Bull Street. This particular piece of property is one that I see every day. When I pull out of the lane behind my house, this is one of the first things that I see. When I leave my house at 1 East 45th Street, which is right at the corner of the East 45th and Bull, you know, I can go to the right and I can go to church. I can go to the library. I can go to all kinds of eating establishments and the like, or I can go to the left and I can go to senior citizens. I can go to the cleaners. I can go to all the parks, all kinds of things. I don't encounter parking lots. The only freestanding parking lot right now along Bull Street is the one across from Shawdell's. And that is not exactly the most attractive place that I pass when I walk from my house up to Sacred Heart, for instance, or up to the library. Bull Street is a very unusual boulevard, in my opinion. I went to a lecture recently at Senior Citizens right around the corner, and they referred to Bull Street as the Cardo Maximus, meaning the great hinge from which all the streets in the city of Savannah at some point intersect. And granted, it is that north of Forsyth Park, but it's even that south of Forsyth Park when you talk about it. It is really, it's a grand boulevard. When people drive down Bull Street, whether it be to the north or to the south, they don't really pay much attention to the speed limit. And the reason they don't pay much attention to it is because there are beautiful homes, beautiful businesses, beautiful churches, public buildings, parks, you know, everything except for the most part, parking lots. It's a beautiful vista. And as I said in my remarks, there's really no need, as I can see, you know, for additional parking. I'm driving down Bull Street in that neighborhood all the time. And rarely are there people parked along Bull Street for any reason whatsoever. I just don't understand the need for this particular parking lot. The other thing I'll say is that, you know, when I made my remarks for the first meeting that we were supposed to be here last month, you know, I made a note that there are abandoned tires sitting in this parking lot. And I drove by there on my way to this meeting today, and they're still there. So I really don't anticipate this place being kept up. That's for sure. But I would like to say also that Bingville, and I'm not here to represent Bingville. Bingville is a neighborhood across the street. And it's an unusual neighborhood because here in Savannah, there really aren't very many economically and racially diverse neighborhoods in our city. And Bingville is one that indeed deserves protection. And I think that this is a slight against Bingville, and also in terms of the RC Park neighborhood. I think that we want to see a vibrant neighborhood. We want to see a beautiful street retained. And we simply think that this parking lot is unnecessary, and that's really an affront to what we're trying to do in our area.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Carl Schuler.
Members of the Metropolitan Planning Commission, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm Carl Schuler. I'm a resident of the Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent neighborhood. I'm also vice president of the Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent Neighborhood Association. First of all, you have heard and will hear, and you've read the many comments opposed to this petition. And yesterday I counted 28 letters of opposition on your website, and none for. I'll be brief. I'm looking here at the application for the special use permit, and it says describe the purpose of the requested use permit. And it says here additional parking will support forthcoming businesses and student housing development nearby. Well, that need is speculation at this point. We already know that the SCAD facility will include a substantial number of parking spaces. And what I propose is that you consider tabling this petition until there is a real demonstrated need for parking at this location. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Sorry, Norm Misserun. Did not have my mic on.
My name is Nora Misserun. I'm a member of the Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent Neighborhood Association. And I'd just like to mention the history of General Oglethorpe tapped William Bull to be the surveyor. And he found that Bull Street was the highest position in all of the area. Bull Street is a gem running through the city of Savannah. You know, we have our featured park, Forsyth Park, and it extends through our beautiful historic neighborhood in Ardsley Park. And parking lot doesn't suit that. We're starting to see lots of development right there on that Bull Street corridor. There are these cute little shops coming up, lots of walking. You know, the SCAD students are there walking, but the Ardsley Park neighbors are going over for a cup of coffee. They get have a florist. There's a bridal boutique. It's just getting to be very, very pretty. And now we're going to put in this parking lot right on General Oglethorpe's Bull Street. It just doesn't make sense. It's...
Any questions for Ms. Misserun? Sorry, I should have been asking that a long way. Judith Parker?
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Jane McKenzie?
Hi, I'm Jane McKenzie. I live at number 9 East 46th Street. I can see this piece of property straight from my kitchen window. Previously, it has been very low-impact buildings. It has been a florist and a costume shop. The florist tried to sell and finally obviously did sell to Mr. Notrika, and they tore down the building. So now it is a really lovely green space that I was watching the weeds grow, and I thought, oh, doesn't that look nice? And I would hate to see it turned into a parking lot, but primarily in this neighborhood, there's no paid parking because there's no need for paid parking. There's generous on-street parking for the occasional times that people need to come in and park. The businesses and residential facilities that are along Bull Street on that side of Bull Street on the west side, they don't need any additional parking. One is a law office. They have their own parking lot. And one is a small business that sells antiques and things like that. I've never seen hardly any cars there anyway. So there's really no need whatsoever for a paid parking or any kind of parking. As was mentioned before, there are unknown plans that Mr. Notrika has for this possible lot, which is kind of awkward. It's really not compatible with the neighborhood. I would hate to see a precedent set that the zoning gets changed every time somebody wants to build something new when there's really, what is it, TC1 or something. You can actually build things there now that are appropriate. Stormwater drainage, that's another issue. Bull Street, as she mentioned, is the high water line that goes through. Stormwater drainage is terrible. To add a concrete pad only decreases the capability of the area to absorb the stormwater. And I just think it would be a hazardous situation for the fire and emergency vehicles that fly up and down the road, have a parking lot, people coming in and out, stuff like that. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. McKenzie. Elizabeth Hodges? Oh, sorry. Karen, did you have a question, Ms. Chair?
Yes, I have kind of a general question.
I live a little bit further to the north in the Thomas Square area, but I walk that corridor a lot with my dog. I do see a lot of cars along Bull Street, generally speaking, with the little French place that does the wonderful quiches. I think that there's a lot of parking that is associated with that. And the more, I mean, this, when the students come in, I also walk by the One West Victory property and the SCAD building immediately adjacent, and the road there is always packed and usually into the yellow zone, which makes it difficult for me to be able to navigate the Victory Drive intersection safely. I was just wondering, you're not concerned about the cars on Bull Street?
Let's
come up. I'll let you address that question.
Let's try to maintain the question and answer format here, and we can save discussion for a little bit later. So let's try to make sure we're just asking questions of the petitioner or the public member that's in front of us, please.
Go ahead.
Speaking the microphone.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
About the parking possibilities for the little French cafe. I know exactly where she's talking about. I like to dine there myself. Mm-hmm. There's ample free parking, both with the Senior Citizens Association on the street and on the side streets on Ardsley Park. People are not parking all day to go to the little restaurant. They're just parking for a temporary basis.
And the Senior Citizens doesn't have a problem with people parking there?
Not at all.
Okay.
I mean, the Senior Citizens has a...
Could you please state your name?
Oh, Jane McKenzie. Sorry, I had previously spoken. And Senior Citizens has our own parking lot in the back.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Senior Citizens to take classes there. And so I walk, and so do the rest of my neighbors that go there.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Elizabeth Hodges, please.
Oh, I wanted to say one more comment about what you had said. SCAD is building a parking lot underneath the building they're now doing now. They have a parking lot adjacent to that, and they have a parking lot over on Barnard.
Yes.
There's three parking lots to accommodate those SCADs.
In the interest of getting everyone's public comment, may we please move on to Ms. Hodges? Are you Ms. Hodges? Please step to the microphone and state your name for the record.
My name is Elizabeth Hodges, and I oppose this rezoning. In addition to there being no need for it, I think it's a spurious argument to say that we need to have it to provide for existing structures that were already built and approved by you all and have parking that was presumed to be adequate for the need of what was built there. So I don't see why we need to change a zoning plan that had lots of work put into it in order to do a temporary thing. Secondly, in my experience, once zoning has changed to allow parking, the parking lot stays. And any future development is really speculative, especially if he complies with the zoning ordinance for parking lots and builds all of that infrastructure. There's less inclination to go pull that out and put something in. So I would encourage you to not approve it. We would rather see the vacant lot. We would rather see what zoning ordinance provides. If he wants to build a building and provide offices or commercial on the first floor and residential on the upper floors with parking provided in the back as is appropriate, we would be delighted to see that. Thank you.
Questions for Ms. Hodges? All right. Your turn, Ms. Phillips. You're up.
Okay. So I just want to address a few things. My name is Chelsea Phillips. I have a degree in real estate and marketing from UGA. So I'm here to talk about the parking thing. I also am probably one of the people most affected. So here's where the parking lot is. this is our house that our hopefully our parents will move into someday. This is our land. It was our first bungalow. This is our other house. We are the ones most affected by parking, for sure. So these are here are businesses who also are opposing this on either side. There's not a parking issue right now. As per SCAD, I know that you walk by there a lot. I'm sure you see that the deck, the third level is always empty. Usually the second level is like partially empty. SCAD is pushing for students to leave their cars at home. They are making that really bus dependent, and they're saying, according to the Savannah agenda, that only about 20% of students bring their cars. That does not feel like what this is. We understand about a restaurant going in. We are the ones who are going to be affected by the parking. And I think every one of us is standing here and saying, this is not an issue. We are fine. We love where we live. I just want to point out that from a real estate perspective, a parking lot diminishes property values. This is a big black tooth. Like, Bull Street has the only sidewalk all the way up. I know people don't love to walk on Bill Street because it's busier, but it is for like ADA purposes and the people from the senior center. It is super walkable. Hold on, let me pull up my notes. I'm sorry, someone was supposed to bring me a printout of said notes and they're not here yet. So I'm just going to freeball it over here.
You're doing great.
Great. I really think it's important to know what TC zoning was designed for. Like, if you build parking lots, people aren't going to walk there. Like, that is what we're killing. Every parking lot is taking money from the tax basis. Like, people can just take down their whatever buildings are there, so they don't have to pay taxes on that. And it's just a holding speculative lot where they can make income on it. And you're not pushing pro-beneficial uses for the city. Like, TC is not designed for that for a number of reasons. So we're the ones with our property values affected. It is proven in study after study how parking lots affect property values. We are the one affected by the parking. And so for the MPC to come in and approve something like this, it feels really not like that it wasn't, the community wasn't listened to. No, oh fuck, okay.
Thank you, Ms. Phillips.
All right.
Any questions for Ms. Phillips? Next up, we have Zoe Randall.
Hello, I'm Zoe Randall. Thank you for hearing us today. I do vehemently oppose the proposed parking lot on Bull and 46th Street. I moved to Ardsley Park over 30 years ago, farther east. And then after living downtown for a while, I wanted to come back. For many reasons. One of them, of course, a lot of the unsightly construction that's happening downtown and the overcrowdedness. But mostly because Ardsley is a historic neighborhood of architecture, quietude, and people who care deeply about our neighborhood. People who spend their time and money keeping our neighborhood and our parks clean and beautiful. And people who worked hard to protect that Bull Street corridor that we find precious, that I walk my little corgi on every day. The proposal violates all that we stand for historically, aesthetically, environmentally, and legally. It simply cannot be permitted. So please take care. Please take the care to stand with Ardsley Park. And thank you. Oh, and a parking lot goes in there. Look at all the storm drains now coming up, all the issues with storm drains, especially in Ardsley. We do have that high ground on Bull. Not if we have all cement and it just all runs off. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Randall. Any questions for Ms. Randall? All right. Michelle Solomon.
Hi, I'm Michelle Solomon. I live on 45th between Bull and Abercorn for almost 20 years now, and I've got some handouts for y'all. There's not really enough, so you're going to have to share them. First, I want to echo what Chelsea and Bill said about how incredibly walkable Bull Street is. I have a nice little rescue dog. He's a German Shepherd mutt, and he likes to walk. So we go about 2.5-3 miles every day, me and my dog. And we love to walk down Bull because it is, as Bill mentioned, fully sidewalked from Duran all the way downtown. And that's incredibly unusual. So I can't do that on Abercorn because if I walk south on Abercorn, I run out of sidewalk after about 10 blocks. And if I walk on Habersham, it doesn't have like the beauty and the interest that Bull Street has. It's just kind of, it doesn't have the street trees. It's a lot of concrete. Nothing faces you on Habersham. But if you walk down Bull, you get, as they were talking about, just lots of little shops, some green space, community space. Like it's a really nice walk. And that's, I know why Ms. Jarrett walks there. So it's really nice and it's worth preserving. So when I looked at this MPC staff report, because I looked at Mr. Notrika's proposal and he said, okay, this will really help the neighborhood because they need more parking and it'll be like an aesthetic benefit and a parking benefit. And I thought that's ridiculous. And then I looked at the MPC staff report and it said the same thing. And I'm like, that doesn't like make any sense to me. It's as though they didn't go out and actually look at our neighborhood. It's as though they didn't actually assess our parking needs or look at the aesthetics. Like it was just, it seemed rote. And so some of what I've handed you guys is I looked, over the past 2 years, there have been 4 proposals before you for a special use permit for a parking lot. 3 of them have come from Mr. Notrika. Ours, the one that our neighbors from Thomas Square are here about today in the old SunTrust spot. And one that you guys approved a year ago at Henry and Drayton. And what I noticed when I pulled up the MPC staff reports for Henry and Drayton, for Abercorn, and for us, is that they were like all the same. So you can actually see, and I kind of put it, there's like red and blue, but you can look at it and you can see it's like they're just copy-pasted. Like it was just sort of like accepting that, oh, well, they must need parking, so we're just going to copy-paste and say parking is good. And it really, I mean, it's so copy-pasted that the diagrams of the Henry and Drayton parking lot are in our staff report. And there's even like a mention of staff support for rezoning our lot. And obviously we don't need a rezoning. This isn't an application for rezoning. It's for a special use permit. But at Henry and Drayton, they were asking for a rezoning, I believe. So it was just like, boop, they support the rezoning. And there's a reference in there to, oh, this spot was previously used for parking. Again, copy-pasted, our lot was not previously used for parking. It was a florist shop and then, costuming. But the Henry and Drayton lot was previously used for parking.
Thank you, Ms. Solomon.
But I have 2 more things, please.
I
just want you to look
I
at
still
this.
Have several
what I handed
cards.
You. What I handed you is my own parking survey. You can look at the images of how much parking is presently available along Bull Street, along Barnard, and also the state of the Henry and Drayton lot, which does not match any of those site plans.
Mr. Barr, do you want to just speak to the inclusion of the Drayton location and that was not, it was intentionally copied and pasted for a specific.
And not only that, it was also stated in the presentation that the purpose for including those was, we've got some questions about what it was that was going to be happening. I got questions about parking decks. So again, just to make sure people understood, when there's a petition to establish a parking facility, it's something pretty specific. We're not talking about a parking deck on a parcel that's less than 5,000 square feet. It's a very small parcel. Aside from that, I'd just like to kind of address the idea that even though I live in Richmond Hill, I just asked Sally if I could fill out a speaker card. I just want to say I almost get hit every time I leave Popeyes. It is so difficult to leave the Popeyes next to Valerian Sotelo's lot. And I hate to admit that I go there so much, but I'm here late. I'm here late. It's on my way back out to Richmond Hill. Bull Street is probably one of my personally most traveled corridors. It is also one of my favorite streets. I can fully appreciate the idea that there is something that we want to preserve. But I would just like to remind people, when we look at things, we're not necessarily looking at it the same way. There's something that we all are appreciating as we look at this corridor. But as the group of people charged with observing development across this jurisdiction, it's not necessarily that there's this idea that we're going to permanently somehow disrupt this nugget of your neighborhood. This is not that. The intent here is that there's an awareness that there are a number of developments that you don't necessarily see yet. These are not things that are made public. They're things that they are approved at the staff level.
And because of that, and because we are in negotiations with people who are attempting to do additional developments in the area, we're aware of the fact that this is a transient use. There are development standards that will address many of your concerns. There are conditions that will address some of your concerns. So while we can appreciate the idea, I just want to make sure we're talking about a thoughtful consideration of the appropriateness of this particular use and not necessarily focused on the person who's making the request. So,
Mr. Morrow, could you change the picture that we have there to the actual? Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Next, we have Meg Pace.
Hi, Meg Pace. I live at 3 Intelman Place, which is Intelman Park, which is between 45th, 46th, and Humble. So from the back of my house, I see this lot. I will try to go quickly because a lot of people brought up a lot of the same things. The proposal is very inconsistent with the TC1 zoning district. I served on the Savannah Development Renewal Authority Board when we developed and the city later adopted the downtown Savannah 2033 plan. I participated, as a lot of other of our friends and neighbors did, and the public charrettes. We helped shape the framework of this plan. We spent a considerable amount of time focused on the Bull Street corridor. I have it with me. I'm sure you all have it. We're already talking about the 2044 plan. Like, go back and take a look. Listen to the public comment. We know that we don't know everything that is coming online, just like we didn't know about the pizza joint, but we've walked it. We have pictures of it. Plenty of parking. Bingville neighborhood is a little bit of a special neighborhood. Bill kind of mentioned it before. It doesn't have representation, but I've actually already reached out to the city to see if I can start a neighborhood association to bring some representation to that area, because this is a gem of an area that we cannot just ignore and then kind of railroad over and not let them have a voice. Obviously, we are right on the border. We straddle, since we're on Bull Street, we straddle both. So I kind of feel like we are able to represent on that end. As a commercial parking lot, this is exactly opposite of what we want and what the 2033 plan for the Bull Street corridor laid out. It does not generate foot traffic. It does not contribute to walkability or safety. It undermines the human scale of development. I'm trying to go through some stuff beyond stormwater, which other people brought up. The quality of life impacts are very clear. Traffic and safety risks are increased from vehicle movement onto residential streets. Lighting and noise pollution are extending into evening hours. It's a parking lot. There's no time limit on there. The aesthetic degradation of green space is replaced with a pavement, or even if he doesn't pave it, he's not taking care of other lots that are currently not paved. So there's another issue there. Security concerns from unmonitored parking lot when people just randomly deciding they're going to park there 24/7. The redundancy about the SCAD dorms, they have parking. They don't all bring cars. There's really not a need. There's plenty of parking. And there's really just no community benefit for this. Obviously, the community response has been overwhelming to oppose this online and physically in person. It also sets a dangerous precedent. Once an exception is granted at the residential edge, it becomes harder to protect the balance of residential stability and responsible growth. We know we don't know everything, but we live there. We work there. We are participating in this, so let us participate.
Thank you, Ms. Pace.
We hope you oppose.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Pace? Mr. Kennedy, there's three more speakers. If you want to sit down, it's been a while. Feel free to sit down. They know your support.
That's much appreciated. I'm Austin Kennedy, 50 plus year resident of Savannah, 28 at this property. Porch overlooks this property. We're 350 feet away, so we weren't in the diagram put up. But I'd like to address staff's point, chair's question. And then just reiterate one point, and that's the historical work done for the walkability of this neighborhood. First, thank you for being concerned about both lighting and handicap parking. As what I understood were the two pluses of putting in a parking facility, that's an aberration to this neighborhood. I mean, it is a good goal to have good lighting and accessible. But frankly, on Friday, on my pre-dawn walk to go to yoga, which is to the south of the French bistro that you mentioned, that's three blocks. You get to the bistro, then there's a cul-de-sac of parking and businesses back there. They're all well addressed. There's not really an issue. A few people park on Bull, but not an issue. But the lighting, I would like to issue or would like to raise. Please consider the input of the neighbors that are walking through there. Pre-dawn, that's the most lit corner in my whole three-block walk. But how safe is the whole walk? You know, safe enough that my wife walks it. Probably three mornings a week, excuse me. So lighting is not going to be a selling point for us. Handicap parking, granted, we don't have the visibility that y'all do and see all the great developments where you're going to need handicap parking. But currently, they don't have any place to go. So there's not really a need for handicap parking. Immediately to the north, the adjoining business is an attorney's office. They all walk to work. They serve out-of-state clients. They don't have walk-in business. They have one staff member who parks on the property, and that's it. Next door, it's a by-appointment interior design building. That is what's proper for the neighborhood. Low-intensity, low-volume businesses that have day use. This aberration is 24 hours a day, unlimited use in theory. But really, he's trying to play the beach game of bocce ball and move the bocce ball after he's set up his play. He's trying to get in additional parking, and then he can convert additional buildings into higher volumes. Don't give him that gift. The neighborhood doesn't want it. It doesn't match the walkability and the neighborhood aspect of it. And he hasn't proven in the application that under current zoning, he's at some huge disadvantage.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. You've answered your time.
He bought into today's features. Leave him with today's features.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Are there any questions for Mr. Kennedy? I would just like to make a quick point when discussing mobility challenge folks that, you know, any parking lot could be for mobility challenge people. It doesn't have to be something perceived as nearby needed for mobility challenge people. So let's just keep that in mind when we're speaking of those who have challenges with mobility. All right, Artis Wood.
Good afternoon, Artis Wood. I am past president of Artsley Park, Chatham Crescent, and past president of the Garden Club. I have lived there for 33 years, and I love it. Yesterday, the person wanting to do this spoke to Thomas Square, and they said that the reason was indeed to anticipate the parking need that would come in the future. To me, this is getting the cart before the horse. And as a result, I see this as spot zoning. I see no reason for it. And I think that we also need to look at the SCAD folks there. We must realize that they've got a lot of buses, in case you haven't noticed. They paint them well. And so a lot of these students don't need, especially if there's not a parking place, they don't have to have a car. And let's look to the future a little bit, not just to the week or the month ahead. We are going to are facing an energy crisis, and we are looking to other things to give us energy besides oil. This is toxic. Let's don't forget that as we deal with our many other problems in the nation. We must convert to not only using less energy, but of course using energy that doesn't hurt our planet. So there's YouTube, there are trolleys that have been introduced and very successfully going all the way from City Hall down to Victory Drive and around. Free trolleys. So let's look at the big picture. Let's see that this is not necessary, that if it is, it's certainly ahead of the game, and reject it because of all the reasons you have heard. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wood. Stephen Acop.
Thank you for hearing us. I'm Steve Acuff. I live four houses from this
lot that is being proposed. Jane McKenzie lives two houses from it. Chelsea Phillips lives across the street from it. We all have either children or grandchildren. My granddaughter's 5.5 years old, 3 afternoons a week. My wife walks her to our house to spend the afternoon after school. Now, the cars go roaring by our house on 46th Street. At the end of 46th Street is Bull, and that's where the lot is. On the other side of Bull, it changes names to Pearl Street. Several times a day, cars go zooming down past our street. We do not have the good fortune of speed bumps like 52nd Street does on another little enclosed park. I holler at these people, slow down, slow down. When they add a parking lot up there, I think I heard him say 88 spaces. I'm not sure. Is that right? How many eight spaces in this place? 50. So we're going to have 50 cars coming and going. We're going to have a lot of cars coming and going any time of the day and night. And they're going to go roaring down in front of my street. Do any of you guys or ladies have little children that like to go out on the sidewalk and play? Are you going to be responsible when some kid gets hit? When my grandchild gets killed by a car zooming down that street? It's not safe. It's not appropriate. Please vote no.
Any questions for Mr. Aka? Do we have anyone online? And the petitioner is not here to rebut any of these comments, so at this point, I'll open it for board discussion.
Questions for staff?
Yes, Mr. Melvin.
A few of the comments, I just want to make sure. Noted this was a rezoning. It's not a rezoning.
No.
This is a special use request, right? So one comment on the special use request, which I think was a pretty good addition to NUZO, which adds for this extra layer of public process for maybe what we might call more controversial uses.
Correct.
Right? Okay, so just a shout-out for special use permit process right there. This is great. Two, I do agree. I mean, I certainly understand the aversion to surface parking lots. I have the same aversion. And I do agree that sometimes landowners use service parking lots as a, I think the bocce ball metaphor was used. Maybe that's the case, and maybe it's also just kind of a waiting game and a way to activate the parcel. Can you tell us what, because this would still be zone TC1 with or without the special use permit.
Correct.
What are the types of uses that MPC staff would expect if this were to be developed vertically?
A mixed use, something that would probably have a commercial use with residences up top, similar to what you're seeing just on the other side of the lane that's there. Mm-hmm. So that would be the first thing that comes to mind. And then the development standards come into play, because this is outside of a district where you're not getting, you know, any additional parking benefit. So while that's what we would like to see, I would fully expect perhaps some sort of parking relief request simply to accommodate what it is that we would expect at this location.
Yeah. And I heard your comment earlier about, you know, other things in the pipeline that maybe the neighbors wouldn't have eyesight into. And I'm sure I could look into those things too. I'm not aware of what's coming. I don't know that that's the right approach for the public process.
Sure.
But if MPC is aware of, if MPC is aware of other developments that would need this parking or benefit this parking, is that the case? And if so, what developments would you be expecting?
Well, the ones that are literally on kind of the table are the ones that I identified here first. I've heard a lot of mention of SCAD having its own parking, but nothing was said of friends, visitors, deliveries, nothing of that nature. So there are a number of associated uses that would come simply with SCAD. Also, there is, again, the fact that each one of these townhouse is a three-bedroom townhouse. The ordinance does require one off-street parking space per townhome, but again, with three bedrooms, I think those of us who are pretty familiar with built environment professions, we understand that there's a greater correlation to the number of bedrooms than the number of dwelling units, and the ordinance regulates based on dwelling units. So I'd say there's a deficit here. There's also definitely a deficit. The ZBA granted parking relief in association with the first floor of this restaurant, but this particular structure, which used to house the Mutual House, it also has, or the Mutual Benevolent Society, it also has a second floor, which was not addressed in this petition, and the likelihood that the second floor of this structure would remain unused is also relatively low, in my opinion. So just for those things that are literally requested, I would say we're at a parking deficit. Obviously, since we're talking about the hotel overlay, and we are in the process of looking at Plan 2045, we are looking at developing nodes, amplifying corridors so that we can begin to sort of give some sort of shape to the vision that Ms. Woods actually spoke very clearly to. We do want to move in the direction of having densification, having transit. And I'll just remind everyone of the affordable housing text amendment that came through earlier this year that was overwhelmingly rejected by a great portion of the city. So it's interesting that we have such an outpouring at one particular petition, but the things that would move us forward, with which this generation very clearly is aware, we need you to be just as active and to encourage broad adoption of forward-thinking policies elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I mean, so goes yeah. public service. One question, because I completely respect the professionalism and the expertise the MPC staff uses. We've had these special use permits for surface parking lots in other places recently. I think one of the people who spoke had some examples. To my knowledge, those few examples passed here and at City Council without really any kind of controversy. Am I remembering that correct?
Yes.
For the most part?
Yes.
So there's another one today, but there's been a few that have passed. So I'm asking the question from a built environment perspective. Is there a difference in the surface lot because perhaps the parcels around it have not been built up, or this isn't an already dense block where there was a vacant lot, or a structure that used to be there is no longer there. And so a parking lot might be needed by the community and they don't fear that this is going to aid to any kind of density that perhaps they don't want. Do you understand the question I'm saying? Is there a context here, difference between those that we've passed and this one, and what is that contextual difference? Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. So, obviously the one at Henry and Drayton is the first one that comes to mind. And I'll say, interestingly, I think there was an unnoticed trade-off with that particular one, which, because of the future land use map amendment that was required, there's not a request for a hotel there. So it's interesting that there was a trade-off for a hotel, for a parking lot instead of a hotel. I noticed that in the course of evaluating this. That is a much, I'd say, higher sort of intensity location. Obviously, it is a very different context, and I would say we would expect to see something that would be higher in density, whatever the use may be. So, yes, contextually, that particular lot also I would look at and say, just over time, both of these, what they share is the idea that over time we are going to see the value and the usefulness of this property increase. It's going to change simply because the things around it are going to change. Mm-hmm. Yes, at different rates, you will see the one at Henry and Drayton increase in value and proposed intensity at a much faster rate than you will the one here. Nonetheless, again, just kind of looking at literal this one triangle, all of these parcels interconnected, I'd say within the next year and a half, when all of these uses are underway, there will absolutely be a parking crunch. Should the neighborhood desire to see that happen before they, support this, we are staff. We are paid to make a recommendation. I will say that I have also encouraged the idea that there would be a commercial use of some sort to activate this lot, something that would be small, also likely temporary until that request to have ground floor commercial with that upper story residential, which again, I think either an inn or some sort of, you know, office type use or small shop on the ground floor with residential on top. I think that will come at some point. But again, in the temporary, in order to activate this space, it would make sense to have some sort of a commercial pod that would be fronting Bull Street. And it would give an opportunity, you know, to provide something that the neighbors could walk across the street to. And it would not require all of its off-street parking as stipulated by the ordinance, but it would still, you know, potentially provide some off-street parking for uses that are at a deficit.
Is that being proposed?
That is something that I've discussed with the petitioner because this has been so controversial.
And when you say a commercial pod, are you like, that's a food truck?
Something along those lines, a shipping container. I'll go so far as to say Keith over at, what is the shop down Waters, who has the mobile coffee pod. You know, either the idea of a pod that would be placed permanently or creating a space for something like a mobile unit could be brought in so that you could get some regular foot traffic at that location.
I understand, but that's not what's being proposed.
So that would be by right development, and were this allowed to move forward,
it could happen.
It could happen, absolutely. Could happen.
Okay, thank you for answering the question.
Absolutely.
Garrett. I have a question about if we were to deny this, how soon could he bring it back as a new request?
You must wait 12 months before you can bring back a denied.
A year,
petition.
Huh? Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Let me make sure. Can I ask you to clarify what that question was? Whether sure. If we deny this.
If we denied this application, when could he bring it back as a new application?
For the same purpose. Okay, understood. Thank you.
It does still go to City Council.
Yes, Mr. Rose.
I assumed.
City Council. Faces are we talking about?
I would estimate somewhere between 30 and 50. It's a relatively small lot.
Do you have a photo of it again? Do you have a photo of it again? Or
there is no photo of the parcel itself.
Chatter down in the audience, please.
I just wonder what if some, if he was willing to like put some green space in there like oak, like an oak tree island about.
Sure. This board could condition certain
beautification
that related to landscaping,
green space and just augment the oak trees and bring that back.
Absolutely.
To the forefront. So instead of just pavement.
It would already be required to meet the city's landscaping requirements.
Okay.
But this board could augment that if it saw fit.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions? All right. Any discussion? I've got a little bit. I think I've heard a lot of not speculating. It's kind of unusual because most of the time we're hearing that development is happening without anticipation of it. And so we're left without the infrastructure that we need when these developments come along. So it is weird hearing the opposite argument where we shouldn't be building some of the supportive infrastructure ahead of the anticipated infrastructure. So I just thought it was interesting, the speculation versus anticipation of development. And also just personally, like a parking lot or an empty lot, I'm not a big fan of either. I think that they're not the highest use of land, but I just don't see a whole lot of difference between these two as it exists now versus having a parking lot. But that's just my input here. Mm-hmm. The public comment is over. I'm sorry, Ms. Phillips. This is board discussion.
I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay.
Move to continue the application or the request for 30 days.
Is there a purpose for the continuance?
To give the applicant an opportunity to figure out if this is really what he wants to do, come up with another game plan, come up with someone who can do a presentation for us. Yeah, just to give him time to consider his options.
We did that last month.
We
yeah, this is
what this is like. Folks, again, the public comment is over at this point.
My understanding when I heard people standing up was that they wanted to see it. They weren't ready for it now.
So there is a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
I'll second. Plunk.
All right. It's been properly moved and seconded that this is continued until the December meeting. Can we have a date certain on that?
December 16th.
December 16th. Okay. So we will hear this vote. Ms. Amick.
No.
Ms. Bowles.
No.
Mr. Irvin. Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
No.
Ms. Wilson?
No.
It was worth a try.
Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
No.
I too vote no, so that motion fails. So the floor is still open for motions. This, at this point, it should be a yes or no vote unless there's an alternative. So there needs to be a motion and a second and then the vote.
I just want to just add to the discussion. I think most of us have said that we don't think a parking lot or even a vacant lot is the best and highest use, but I'm also struggling with trying to tell someone what they could do with their land. I think that's really
The analogy that I say is if everyone thought we had enough burger places and somebody wanted to build a burger place and we said, we don't want you to build a burger place, that's not our right to tell them not to build a burger place. You know, there are rights, and granted, this is a special use permit, so it does have to come to this public setting. But these votes are not, you know, a community versus developer. That's not how the vote happens. So we've done the proper process of hearing this at a public hearing for this special use permit. So at this point, public comment is closed. I'm sorry, guys. So we need a motion and a second and a vote.
I make a motion, Joe Welch, Commissioner, make a motion to accept staff's recommendation of approval of special use for the following conditions that are stated.
There is a motion. Do we have a second?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Welch, would you kindly restate those conditions?
Those conditions are, one, the request of special use shall consist only of a service parking lot. Any expansion of the parking facility shall require review and approval by City Council. Number two, the petitioner shall install a continuous opaque aesthetic perimeter wall or a combination of wall fence along the length of the property lines.
Second your motion.
May I make a friendly amendment to that just to add a requirement for some green space as we discussed?
I'd like to see adding into that some green space.
Mr. Morrow, what is the best way to word that in this motion?
This board's consideration of a general development plan once it's submitted.
General development plan come back before this board.
But you could also add it as a third condition because you've conditioned it.
Yes.
The fence, and you conditioned it with the facility going back. So the third condition, even if it comes back for a general development plan, will be that you would like to see a landscaping plan that incorporates a sufficient green space so that
sufficient is too open-ended though. Is
okay,
there like
well,
a
if you but if you're looking at it to approve, it could be if you're gonna do you want it to come back to this board for a landscaping plan?
I think that would be best because then we can have the public process happen again so that there's still
okay
public
so
input.
if it passes, then there would be a plan that is reviewed for landscaping that would be approved by the MPC board.
So to amend this, we would add provision three that would be
just add the third, yes.
That a general development plan would come back before us to include a landscaping plan.
Correct.
Yes.
Do you accept that amendment, Mr. Wells?
Yes, I do.
And Mr. Irvin?
Second.
All right. The motion has been properly moved and seconded. Yes. Ms. Amick, how do you vote?
No.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
No.
Mr. Melder?
No.
Ms. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
I too vote yes. The noes have it. We still do not have resolution on this.
Move to deny the applicant or the permit.
So just an outright no for this?
Yeah.
All right, it has been motioned. Is there a second?
Second, Amick.
All right. Ms. Amick, how do you vote? In the denial, you're going to vote in the affirmative.
Yes.
All right. Ms. Bowles?
No.
Mr. Irvin?
No.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Welsh?
No.
I too vote no. So that motion fails to pass. There is a one vote difference between these right now. Not the public session is closed, but for you can continue to discuss at the board level.
So a question for Mr. Morrow. So I'm having a hard time with the cart before the horse scenario, meaning, yes, there might be some development on down the line that we know of that's been approved. But, you know, when will they actually be developed and then in need of parking? And then, you know, my thought is they're not going to all happen at BAM one time, and then you're going to need 25 extra parking spaces. So why not wait until some of those, because there is no need for parking right now. Why not wait a little bit later and propose parking for when there is a need? Why not?
I feel like it's a chicken and egg argument, because you build in anticipation of, or when you're a developer coming in, you say, what do I have in the area that could support what I'm building? Well, there's a parking lot here. Or you say, you know, we're going to build a parking lot because development's coming down the line. You could argue that either way.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Miller.
In light of this impasse, I mean, it's my thought on this. I think that MPC staff made the right recommendation per our ordinance. I think this comes down, I heard some comments from the public, this is never going to remain a green space. This isn't going to be a park. This is going to be something. It's going to be something. And, you know, in there's comments are true about a parking lot is not going to garner the same type of tax digest value as a ground floor retail and upper store residences. All of that's true as well. But that's not what the proposal is here today. So that I think we're kind of, we either believe that we think that the parking lot is a better use right now than the vacant lot. Those are the two options. Mm-hmm. But I do want to, even though I voted to deny that, I do think MPC staff made the clear recommendation per our ordinance. This isn't just a matter of whether or not we believe it's the right use at the right time.
Ms. Chair.
So can we send this on to City Council with no decision? Because we literally have no decision.
Without a recommendation.
Ms. Wilson, what say you?
Well, the other option is to have a conversation with regards to continuing and maybe have a conversation with the applicant to see if there's other options. I know that didn't pass the first vote, but you might want to consider
hesitation.
6 days.
Yeah, the only hesitation I have with continuing this is that these folks have taken 2 days now to come speak before us.
True.
The other thing too to consider though is that, you know, it's a special use permit. It's not a rezoning, and that, you know, you do have to come up with reasons about why you would not approve it. And you need to be a little bit more specific besides it's not good timing. I would just like to say for the record that, we didn't cut and paste. We basically looked at options in what's going on. So I wanted to clarify that. We showed that as examples of what was happening. And the other thing is that as planners, you are looking at what is coming down the pike. The other issue too is that there are a lot of uses that have less than 3,000 square feet that don't have parking requirements. And one of the things that we hear from people that live in some of the other neighboring communities is that they don't have sufficient parking. I'm not saying whether this is the highest and best use or not. But I do think that, you know, your option is to either send it ahead with a no recommendation. I think that the board would probably send that back to you. From what I've seen, is that they're going to want a recommendation from MPC. So you just need to make a decision of voting either it up or down or add some additional conditions if that is something that you want to see. The other thing too, just to let the public know, is that, you know, unlike some of the other projects, this is something that has to come back through for the plan to get approval. It's not like it's something that's approved and then you won't ever see it again. You get another shot at it. And that's the other thing to keep in mind too, with regards to how the conditions are written.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Were those two tied boats?
They were lost by one boat for each one. For all of the three, sorry.
And the only thing that we can theoretically do is table it, continue it.
Or call for a revote.
Or if someone has another motion to amend where you are, I don't know what that would be.
He's right, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
He's right. You can table it to the next meeting. Sorry you have to come back, but, you know, and maybe a petitioner can make a presentation, but in all due respect to my fellow commissioners, you can put a pavement here. You can put a parking lot. They can always sell it to a developer, build whatever there. And I understand that. And that's, be careful what you wish for again, because you don't ever know what could go there. But I'm just saying.
Your developer could also apply for the same special use permit.
Exactly. So, in answer to your questions, you know, that can happen. They can always sell it.
So the floor is still open for a motion. Till the next meeting?
Table for 30 days.
Next meeting.
Okay, so we've got a motion. Mr. Welsh, are you seconding that motion to table?
Yes, I second.
Can I make an amendment to that motion?
Why not?
Requiring the petitioner, or asking the petitioner to provide us with a presentation so that we can see what it is he's planning to do with this.
Okay. And I would advise that petitioner to have someone else represent them before this board. All right. So the motion on the table is that we continue this until the December, what was the date? 16th meeting. And that we request from the petitioner, because we can't demand that, but that we request from the petitioner that someone is here to present their petition at that meeting. So that has been motioned by Ms. Jarrett, and Mr. Welsh has seconded it, so we will call for vote. Ms. Amick, how do you vote?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
No.
Mr. Irvid?
Yes.
All right, Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Yes, the motion carries. Sorry to continue this one more time, folks. We will be back here in December to hear this. See you next month.
Don't they know who I am?
Is the restroom?
Yes, sir.
He has four of them. He's doing.
No, there's two currently under consideration.
I drove by two and went in.
On this agenda?
His properties.
just fucking that. So my friend, there's a lot of these guys that own like half the city. He has many.
So, but apparently he has poor taste in it, which I've seen him see.
No, not at all. I disagree. I encourage you to talk to him.
I'd like to. Like,
what's your name?
I'm Steve Hickman.
Steve Hickman. You signed in?
Sure.
Ms. Helms, will you round up the troops, please? Will you round up the troops? I'm not sure where the rest of our quorum are right now. Yeah. We can let them know that we're coming back.
Thank you.
If we can, we've got seven here, right? Yeah, we've got seven here, so we've got our quorum, and Mr. Welch makes eight.
Huh? It's an honor.
Seven would be the quorum. That's six plus one.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Jeff recused, but I don't know. But I think he would still need to. But I think he would still need to come in here and recuse, right? All right, we are returning back. Thank you for your patience. We do have a note that I want to go ahead and bring forward so we don't have people waiting around. We're going to rearrange. Item number 10 has been requested to be continued to the December 16th meeting as well. So if anyone is here to speak on a special use permit to establish a hotel in the TC1 zoning district at 2512 Habersham Street, we are going to move that up because there needs to be a vote on whether to continue it or not since it is on our regular agenda. So,
I think it's a great idea to continue this, especially in light of what City Council is considering and the recommendation of this body, a few meetings ago regarding the hotel overlay. So I move to postpone
continue the
item until December 16th.
It's been properly moved. Second. We have a second from Ms. Jarrett. All right. We will go ahead and vote on that. Let me make sure I have the right one.
Just
want to
do a verbal.
We can do a verbal. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
You're opposed? Okay. Noted. Thank you. So we will continue that to the December 16th meeting. So the last item that we will hear today is item number 9, special use permit to establish a parking facility in the TC1 zoning district at 2505 Abercorn Street and 104, 112, 114, and 116 East 41st Street. Mr. Morrow.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair, members of the Planning Commission. This is another request to establish a principal use parking facility on the subject parcels, the principal parcel being 2505 Abercorn Street. This is a site that is a vacant SunTrust Bank building that adjoins Abercorn. But again, you can see on the future land use map, there are five parcels that are subject to this request, all presently indicated for traditional commercial use and all zoned TC1. Again, just to provide a little bit of background, this is a vacant bank building that was established as a drive-through bank, originally constructed in 1968. There are 27 off-street parking spaces that were developed at that time in association with this use. There are 12 on the principal parcel at 2505 Abercorn and 15 that are on the four parcels to the north. And the petitioner is requesting approval of a special use permit to use that parking in association with a principal use parking facility
This does happen to be within a district that would afford a non-residential use some off-street parking relief naturally. And so anything that went back into that existing structure and anything that would be built in the future would receive some parking relief, which would leave the possibility that there would still be spaces within this lot that would be eligible to be paid parking not associated with the principal use, if that makes sense. And again, I'm referring to the streetcar and Victorian, which gives you the first 3,000 square feet, no off-street parking required. And then there are tiered off-street parking requirements associated with varying uses. So here is a site plan showing, actually this was a survey showing those off-street parking spaces as they exist. And those are the spaces that are proposed to be used. Again, off-street parking lot. There is no parking structure proposed here. Staff does recommend approval of this request to use those existing parking spaces as a parking facility. Happy to answer any questions.
The petitioner is not here to present this one. So are there any questions of Mr. Morrow? All right.
Just for clarity.
Mr. Chair.
It is an existing parking lot, correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
All right, I've got five speaker cards here. Ms. Phillips, do you want to go first this time? You're on top.
I'm Chelsea Phillips. I think that if you look upon study after study, the lowest and worst use of zoning ever is a parking lot, right? Like you are pushing TC1 zone, which is supposed to be a vibrant, walkable neighborhood, and you are pushing it for a use it was not meant for. And it's become a place where developers just park their money, make some income on it, and then they can sell it for 2, 5, 7 times as more in a few years. It is not for the community, and it lowers our tax digest. I felt like Jay made a great point about that. When land use as a surface parking lot, it takes no real jobs, no storefronts, no customers, no foot traffic, no local spending. And it's like almost 40 times less tax revenue than a small business, a restaurant, a mixed use space. So you're taking off the tax and the developer is the only one making money because there was a 2017 study, a surface parking lot within 100 feet of a residence lowered adjacent residential values by 5 to 20%. So that's just taking the residents' money by approving something that I feel like there should be some kind of thing with a demand study, a parking demand study paid for by a developer to show this future use, this whatever use, before stating that it might imaginatively be there. Because if this was really affecting things, then residents would be happy to see it if that's what the neighborhood needed. But these are decisions being made by people who don't live there, who don't there, and it's taking money from the tax digest, and you're sending a message to other developers that this area isn't worth building on. It's like low tax revenue for the city. Infill development is diverted and prevented when surface parking occupies prime parcels. The economic value of the land is suppressed, and then the person can just hold it indefinitely because there's no cost of it, and they're actually making money, even though parking lots, about 30 to 50% of them are continuously vacant. So I would prefer not that. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question? So you are aware that it is an existing parking lot?
The parking lot that supports that business.
Okay. You're aware that there are residents in that neighborhood who cannot park in front of their houses that do not have driveways because people who are visiting the area park in front of her house.
My business is actually right around the corner. It's at 39th and Price, and it does not have parking. I'm well aware of the parking issues. People are still parking on those lots. What they're asking for is to be paid for parking for those lots, so someone's getting paid for not developing
are
the
people
land
parking
for the highest
on those
and best
lots?
Use. Yeah, everybody's parking there. For like, we're just not encouraging someone to keep and not develop the land.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Melder. Just to clarify, thank you for your point and for echoing me. Parking lots do not reduce the digest. It's just that a parking lot versus.
It's the lowest economic activity that could be there.
and it's
except
not adding
for a
to
vacant
judges.
Lot like in the West. but I just want
the same like
and to
a vacant lot at least encourages someone to develop. If he's not making money off of it, then he's more likely to develop it sooner.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify what my points was in the last one. The other thing just to say is on the parking study, we do have the parking matters phase two and the final parking plan. I know there's been a lot of public meetings on that, but please dig into that as well.
Okay.
I'm looking for parking surveys in this area.
Okay. Thank
you. Do you have a comment?
A question for Mr. Morrow. if I recall, that people are actually parking on this abandoned business parking lot, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Because they need the space. Now, the problem is that it's not attached to a building, a business, and so that isn't there some kind of violation or a need to change the zoning in order to bring this into compliance?
No, there are no current compliance issues. When this business was constructed back in 68, this was off-street parking associated with the business. There's no active business at that location right now. It's private property, and it's being used by the public in general. So the petitioner is not looking to change anything just because there's not an active business, simply to say, sure, you can park here for a fee.
But that's why it's before us, right? Because the city said it needs to be a use of a paid parking lot since it's not ancillary to the business.
That is correct.
Okay. Mr. Plunk.
That.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Phillips?
I'm sorry. That brings up a question for me. So if the city says it has to be a use, does that mean that people can't park there?
No, you just can't take money unless we get this use, is my understanding. That's what
Mr. Morrow answer the question for me.
That's correct. So we're attempting to establish a principal use for the parking because the principal use would be what goes on in the building. There is no principal use established in the building, so the parking becomes the principal use. People can park there. That property owner, like any other piece of property, would have the right to call and have that vehicle towed.
Okay. Thank you.
I have another question that brings up. Sorry. If there was a principal use, if the bank was open and there was a parking lot, but there was excess parking, could he then use that, could he charge for, you know, the way I'm thinking of the salon that started using that parking lot that we thought was going to be solely dedicated to the clientele and then started charging, that would be legal.
Oh, Mr. Plunk, you have opened up an interesting.
Should I retract
and it
that?
It makes
question?
Me wonder if you don't recall 111 Ann Street, I believe it was, where we opened up the discovery that just because off-street parking is required in association with a development, it doesn't mean that a developer can't then charge people for that. Hence, you rent an apartment, cost for parking is not necessarily included in your rent. It's an additional fee. There's a city parking garage that's close by. Essentially giving people options. If they find something cheaper, they have the ability to get that parking. That's the general idea. So, to your point, yes, just because people are required to do off-street parking, what they're required to do is have a minimum number of spaces. They may then request in this nature to use those spaces for a fee. They may also charge the users of that principal use for the use of those parking spaces as well. So.
It's a big parking lot with a business that he could charge for if the business was open, but he can't charge for it.
I'll even go so far as to say, I think I have the details in here. The size of the structure was in the report. I apologize. Now, obviously, this predates Nuzo. This structure is not very large. I want to say it's less than 3,000 square feet, so very technically, this is all excess parking for this particular building. It would be at the time that it was redeveloped for something else that we would then reassess whether or not, you know, that parking would be needed to meet the requirement generated by the use.
And if he didn't get that use and start charging for the parking, he could theoretically put up a no trespassing sign and tow every vehicle that parks there.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Or he could put a soda machine in front of the bank and say that's the primary use. And then people would park there to go to the soda machine and he could charge for parking for people to, I mean, essentially that's the idea that, you know, the Ann Street, right? All right, let's continue with the public comment. Virginia Mobley, please.
Good afternoon, Virginia Mobley. I'm going to follow somewhat on what you've just been discussing. When this parking lot was built, it was associated with an active business. That business has gone away. It cannot be grandfathered in as an existing operative property. It can be a standalone parking lot. But because it's a historic district, a standalone parking lot has standards. If we assume that he is grandfathered in because it was built as a parking lot, although it was associated with a business, he's not going to have to meet those standards. I would ask you to consider that he be considered be a separate parcel, because last night at the meeting that we had with Mr. With the property owner, he indicated that his use was going to be the 15 spots, that he was not going to use the bank, the building with the bank. His intent, because he has a pending petition, is to demolish that building and build a hotel. So that in itself is a separate item. But if you look at this property of 15 spaces as a piece on its own of a new use paid for parking, then I ask that you hold it to the standards within the neighborhood. Because another quick point, that property, if you include all of it, the bank building as well as the 15 places, there is a driveway existing from Abercorn Street. Have you been down Abercorn recently? The light at Victory backs up cars past 41st Street. How are people, what's going to happen when you have someone waiting to turn that has come from the south and he's waiting to turn across two lanes of traffic? So the logistics of using those 12 spaces with access to Abercorn is an endangered area. It's an area of peril. But the main point is considering the 15 spaces a new use to be held to the historic standards. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mobley. Any questions for Ms. Mobley? Next up, we have Michael Brannon.
I'm Mike Brannon. I live at 410 East Victory Drive. Interestingly, my husband and I just walked by this bank just the other day going to the First Friday art exhibits in Starland, and we kind of looked this hotel over and the parking lot and the spaces around it, just to kind of get a better feel for what's going on. I mean, essentially, I think you're right, Karen, in saying that, yes, this is a parking lot already, and really the vacant lots there that are the extra 15 spaces could be used as parking. I'm guessing that Mr. Notrika probably has a reason for wanting to make a primary use as paid parking, which may have a tax advantage to him, as far as expenses with the parking and taxes and all that. But I'm definitely against doing this at this point. I think that considering a hotel there is a whole other issue. My people are not going to like this, and in my saying this, I actually don't think this would be a bad place for a hotel, a small hotel. But as just a parking, paid parking. It just seems, you know, I'm very against it.
Thank you, sir. Any questions from Mr. Brennan? All right. Lane Huerta?
Huerta.
Huerta, sorry.
Hi, I'm Lane Huerta. I just want to echo what Chelsea has said and Mr. Brennan has said. I live by the Sola Salons parking lot, and people will not want to pay $3 an hour, so they park on our streets. While we do have parking issues, I would like to know more about the parking survey and study that we have spent $130,000 on, I believe, the city. I'd like to hear the other solutions. And I also oppose this because the petitioner has a habit of he has a habit of sitting on things, and we would like for him to do something better with the lot, sell it, or something like that. So I oppose. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Huerta. And last up, I've got Melina. Is that right?
No.
I cannot read this. I'm sorry.
Handwriting.
I'm left-handed. Mine's terrible as well. Sorry.
My name is Carolina Braunschweig. Before I get started, do you guys mind if I ask a question?
Who is the question directed?
All of you. I don't actually know who the question is for. This is about item number 10, which was tabled until the December meeting. We as a community spent a lot of time putting together some opposition to it. We submitted, I think, about 145 letters. Do we need to resubmit them, or does that transfer over? Okay, so that's going to be on the record. I appreciate that. In regards to this parking lot, you know, I want to just reiterate everything Ardsley Park had to say, especially Ms. Phillips. That was really wonderful and smart usage of this time. I oppose this parking lot. We as a neighborhood are super excited about the city's parking survey. We've all participated in the survey. We've gone to the workshops. We believe it's an excellent idea, everything that's been proposed. The meters, the sort of Drayton and Whitaker, I think that's going to relieve a lot of our community parking issues. That said, I do not think that this is the best use of the space in a historic neighborhood. It is a mess. Without any obligation to improve the space, to beautify the space, to ease the traffic down Abercorn, I don't think it's going to work. I think it's only going to contribute to the problems of traffic, parking, litter, I don't want to say vagrancy, but sort of light vagrancy in the neighborhood, which continues to be an issue. And so I think before we tackle this issue, we should ask those questions. And if we don't vote on this today, I ask that you guys table this, just like you tabled the other parking lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anybody online? Then that is the last of the public comment. So we will close the public comment and open it up for any questions from the board for staff.
Move to table.
I've never heard of so much opposition for a parking lot being a parking lot. That is wild to me. That is wild to me. Anyway, Mr. Melder?
I just want one comment. We brought up the Parking Matters study, and I appreciate that people have participated in that. That's wonderful. The Parking Matters study is in some ways supportive of private parking in these areas because it's meeting a demand that's burgeoning there. So it has not been adopted yet, but the Parking Matters study would not be in opposition to private parking here. In fact, it's the opposite in some of these cases. So I just want to bring us back to some of those survey results there. We've had discussions with this neighborhood and this area before about the need for parking all of the time. And concerned about, just like you said, Chairman, that it is an existing parking lot. I understand the external issues facing it, but that's a complication to me for this one.
Thank you. Any other discussion, Mr. Walsh?
Well, yes, this is an existing parking lot. Again, it can be paved to meet the standards of that area. And they can have a hotel built onto it if that's what he so wishes. And it does express exactly what Mr. Melder said. There's parking issues in this area. We approved a little wine cheese place right there by the railroad track. And the biggest concern, if you remember, is where we're going to park because of the railroad track being so close and you had to have a dumpster. Well, the word was, well, you know, if you ride by Russo's Seafood in about another hour and a half, there's not one parking place in his parking lot because it's being utilized for this place. And he had not given permission for that. And that's a liability to his property. He and I fish every Thursday. And that's a liability to his property if anything were to happen. And yeah, there's a need for a parking space, parking lot in that area. And that's just, I want to let you know that. And we didn't approve that. We didn't approve that. It was going to be minimum parking. You ride by, there's 20 cars or more in that man's parking lot. So that being said, you know, I'm going to say I'm in favor of this. Way forward.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
A second.
Well, this is for continuance.
Oh, no.
Is there a second for continuance? In the absence of a second, the floor is open for another motion.
I make a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
It's been moved by
Amick.
Ms. Roush.
Second.
Amick is seconded. So we will call a vote. Ms. Amick.
Yes.
Ms. Bowles.
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett.
No.
Mr. Melder.
Yes.
Ms. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Plunk.
Yes.
Mr. Welch.
Yes.
I too vote yes. So the motion carries. And that is the last of our agenda items, correct, Mr. Morrow?
Yes, sir.
And please just note that that item for the proposed hotel has been continued to the December 16th meeting. We will see you next month.
Council.
And,
the parking still goes to council.
Yeah, the parking still goes before City Council. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Plunk, motion to adjourn.
Second?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.